chapter 28, verse 67. In the morning thou shalt say, Would God it were evening. And at evening thou shalt say, Would God it were morning. That is the fact. Actually, I'm in a no-lead situation this morning. Should you happen to be bored by the following excerpt from the book Madame Bovary that I consider interesting, well, that's precisely the problem the excerpts are meant to introduce, the problem of boredom. Here are the passages. After this disappointment, Madame Bovary's house grew once more empty, and the old procession of identical days began again. So they would go on, day after day, innumerable, indistinguishable, and bringing nothing. Nothing ever happened to her. She gave up her music. What was the point of playing? Who was there to hear? She left her sketchbooks and her embroidery untouched upon the cupboard shelves. What was the use? What was the use? Every day at the same time, the schoolmaster, wearing a black silk skull cap, flung wide his feathers, and the village constable passed by, his saber slung over his smock. The Bible, too, bewailed frustration in his calling on a future that would never be his. Dreaming of a shop in some great city, he spent the day pacing up and down, gloomily awaiting customers. In the afternoon, a man's face would show outside the parlor window, a tan face with black whiskers and a beaming smile. It displayed a row of white shining teeth. Now and again, aiming a long jet of brown saliva at the mounting star. Madame Bovary was not happy. She never had been happy. Why did everything on which she leaned crumble immediately to death? Life was one great lie. Every smile concealed a yawn of boredom. Her own life was as cold as an attic with a north window. Boredom silently wove its spider's web across the corners of her house. Maybe some of us can identify with that sketch. A life as cold as an attic with a north window. A life so routine that a neighbor even skips on schedule. Thoreau said it in an even more quotable manner, the mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation. Or take our text. In the morning thou shalt say, Would God it were evening, and at evening thou shalt say, Would God it were morning. How aptly those words may describe the feelings of many of us on this campus. An alarm clock jolts out of bed in the morning. Somehow we shove our way through the breakfast line. The same food, the same faces. Somehow we survive a couple of classes, the same class, the same mannerisms. Then a bell summons us to chapel, the same order of service, the same message. Routine, routine, routine. Would God it were evening, please. But evening comes, and it is no better. A meeting, a bowl session, a field work assignment, long and late hours of impossible and pointless lessons. Would God it were morning, read it. The most annoying thing about the problem of boredom is that it's so gloomy ordinary. Many other problems are worse, but there are also more glamour. He wants to lie in a sick bed racked with pain. But at least you can be admired for your Christian resignation. Who wants to be deprived of his whole family by one grinding shaft on the highway? But at least you're an object of pity. Who wants to march directly into the gunfire of the enemy? But at least, if you return, you can return a hero. Not everyone wants to be called to the steaming jungles of Africa. But at least, when you come back on sabbatical to the States, you're an object of curiosity and a sought-after public speaker. But boredom, it doesn't even enjoy the status of being considered a serious problem. And that's precisely why it's so serious. Oh, it's not altogether a problem. After all, so we're told, a cow is never bored. Boredom, at least in moderation, is a sign of our humanity. Even better, it is an indication of our destiny. Things don't satisfy us precisely because they were never meant to satisfy us. Not fully, at least. Boredom, again in moderation, is a sign that we're not made only for this world. There are better things ahead. Nevertheless, boredom remains a problem, particularly in student life. Part of the cause, of course, is student life. This endless round of books, bells, classes, schedules, assignments, and exams. Part of the cause lies in our individual makeup. Some of us simply aren't cut out for a routine, scheduled, and sedentary existence. But would I be oversimplifying if I were to suggest this morning that part of the cause is sin? Our alienation from God? I think not. Indeed, the more I live of life and the more I see of the lives of others, the more I am convinced that there is a marked correlation between godlessness and boredom, and that the relationship between them can merely be reduced to formula form. Christ is divine, we are the branches, and when we're cut off, we dry up and wither. In the words of the psalmist, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like the potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. We call it boredom. In our more fashionable moments, we call it ennui. But call it what you will, the problem remains the same. There are many secular solutions to the problem of boredom, some of them helpful, definitely worth paying attention to. Hobbies, friends, vacation, sports, music, reading, correct vocational skills, making huge tasks into workable segments, all have a bearing on the removal or prevention of boredom. But the spiritual solution to the problem of boredom, who can afford to overlook it? If alienation from God is the main cause of boredom, then logically reconciliation to God through His Son is the main cure of boredom. If you're pardon the play on words, lack of spirit can be overcome by being filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, no less. We can become lively again by getting attached to Him who is the life. Boredom goes when God's kingdom comes. So is this to be a conclusion, you explain. Let's ask you again. A cure almost as monotonous as the illness. But yet look at the evidence. There are people around you who are excited and exciting. They're sure of God, they're sold on Christ, they have a destiny. They want others to be equally sure of God and equally sold on Christ, but they have a mission. All of which keeps them warm. And they're always exposing themselves to such ordinary things as church services and the communion celebrations and Bible readings, as if to suggest a little gospel each day keeps boredom away. Your problem will probably not be solved overnight, although it could be, for with God nothing is impossible. But more likely, the cure will be gradual. In fact, if everything has been right with your ears and heart, and with my tongue and heart, the past few minutes, you should have been helped a little bit already this morning. We continue with hymn 476.